Amen and amen. Praise God. Bible says God rejoices over us with singing. Whenever he looks down from heaven and he sees us walking in his ways, there is no better thing to do than to walk in the ways of God. Thank God for the truth that lives and abides forever. And you and I live by the truth because we are one with God. Set apart for his glory, sanctified by his word of truth. What we want to do quickly this morning is to challenge ourselves to live up to responsibility that God demands of us whenever he speaks his word. You see, God has given us his word. Say to your neighbor, God has given us his word. For the new year, 2020. And we have to know what to do in response. Amen. And so that's what we want to quickly look at this morning. I will encourage you to get your pen and paper ready. I'm going to be highlighting a few things. Please take these things home and meditate in them. And take up the responsibility that God has given to us as his people. Whenever God speaks, we have to know what to do. Many of us don't know what to do when God speaks to us, and therefore we fall short of God's expectation concerning us because of that. But it's time for us to wake up as the church, to know who we are, know our Father more intimately, and learn how to walk with him on a daily basis. See, every time I read in the Bible and I read about Enoch, who Bible says walk with God, and God so much loved the way Enoch walked with him in obedience to the point that God just took him to himself. Isn't that wonderful? You know, God is looking from heaven, and whenever he sees somebody who is just doing his pleasure, God will come so close to the person. Enoch so pleased God that Bible says God took him. And in Hebrews, Bible explains that he had the testimony before God took him that he pleased God. In other words, he walked in the way that pleased God. He wasn't pleasing himself. He was pleasing God, and God just took him to heaven. You see, you and I are heaven bound in Christ Jesus. But before we get there, let us also have the same testimony as Enoch had, that we walk with God while we're here on earth. Because when we get there, we'll be highly rewarded for our obedience to the Lord. So what do we do when God speaks to us? Let us read together here in Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Let's go. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Amen and amen. So, please, let's highlight some things to take home and meditate in. When God speaks to us, what do we do? What does he expect us to do? And what should we do? Again, he has spoken concerning our new year 2020, that he will perfect it for us. And I believe every one of us has been looking at the two theme scriptures that he gave to us, and we shall be sharing in depth about them, and also several other scriptures that he has given to us in this season. We remember particularly Psalm 138 verse 8, that God will perfect that which concerns us. So we look forward to that. We look forward to God himself accomplishing his perfect will in all aspects of our lives. So you begin to thank him ahead of time that that is going to be your experience in 2020. God is going to perfect all areas of your life according to the good pleasure of his holy will. And we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 13. Also, I believe every one of us has been reading that since we gave the word as God gave to us. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 20 and 21. And we have been looking to God himself as the one that will accomplish all these things according to the good pleasure of his holy will in our lives. And also, as we mentioned the last time, we are expecting God not just to perfect things concerning us, but to even make the year itself, the year 2020, a good year for every one of us. Say to your neighbor, 2020 is a good year for you and me. In fact, put your finger right there in Habakkuk. Turn with me quickly to Psalm chapter 65. You see, when God speaks, we have to respond in hope. We have to respond with faith and in hope. You see, the reason he speaks is to give us a clarity of direction or a clarity of vision, something to motivate us to look ahead to what is coming and to actually begin to align ourselves to be partakers of the fulfillment of what God has promised unto us as his people. If we don't respond the right way, God will do what he wants to do, but we will miss out because we have not positioned ourselves in faith and hope to receive it. Those who do that will receive, then some people will fall short of it. You see, God is no respecter of persons. He has ways by which he works. If you do what he expects of you, you will experience what he has promised in your life. Again, we know that very well in Hebrews. If you read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4, you find out that God dealt with the children of Israel on the basis of how they were willing to respond to his word. Those who heard his word and responded in faith, because they mixed faith with the word, Bible says they profited thereby. But those who heard the same word and did not respond in faith, they fell short of the fulfillment of God's plan. Not because God planned that for them, but because they chose to go the way that would not please God. They refused to believe God. They were in unbelief and they perished and fell short of the promised land that God planned for them. So it is important that we understand all these things and do our part diligently. Psalm 65. So before you even get into 2020, you better begin to declare this over your 2020 and expect it to be exactly so. That from the beginning of the year to the very ending of the year, God himself, who has said he will perfect it for you, will make it a good year. So let's read together Psalm 65 verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. So say to your neighbor, God is going to crown 2020 with his goodness for you. So 2020 is a good year for you and me. It does not matter what the people of the world may say. It does not matter what the government may say. We believe the report of the Lord. He crowns the year with his goodness. Therefore, 2020 is a good year for me and for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, if you begin to declare these things, that's how they are going to turn out for you. You are a prophet over your life. You see, when you take the word of God and begin to speak them in faith and in expectation, God will back you up from heaven. It's as simple as that. He said, surely as these people have spoken in my ears, so shall I do unto them. That's the way God works. He is seated in heaven, his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. So back to Habakkuk chapter 2. So please write this down. When God speaks to us, number one, he gives us a vision. So when God speaks to you, he gives you a vision. In other words, something to look forward to. You see, a vision is something you are looking forward to, something you are hoping for. That's why it's called a vision, something that is set before you. So you are looking forward to it. You are seeing it as a goal that is set before you. And it motivates you every day to know what direction you are going in life. You see, God is not the author of confusion. Say to your neighbor, God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want any of us to be confused in any area of life. That is why he gives us his word, to be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Amen. So we need to have a vision. We need to know what is ahead of us, what we are reaching forward to. And that's why God gives us the word. And we see that clearly here in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2 says, and the Lord answered. In other words, this is the word of the Lord. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. In other words, what God said to him was a vision that he needed to write down so that everybody could read the vision or the plan of God and begin to run with it. So say to your neighbor, begin to run with the word of God. Amen. So that's the first thing. When God speaks to us, he gives us a vision, something to look forward to. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. Secondly, it is your responsibility to run with the vision. So it's one thing for God to give you a vision. It's another thing for you to run with it. Because God can give you a vision, you can decide to just bury it in the ground and still pursue your own vision. How many of us know that that is possible? Remember the person God gave talent to. He buried it and just did his own thing. So if God gives and you don't receive what he has given you, you can't profit from it. So we have to know that when God gives us a vision or a word as a direction for our life, we have the responsibility to run with it. What does it mean to run with it? As we see here in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, the word run there literally means to be speedily executing the word. In other words, to add action to it. Because when you are running, you are active. Isn't that so? To run means you are active and you are doing something at pace, or you are adding speed to it. You are quickly responding to that word. God doesn't want you to receive his word and just put it down there and lay it down there and just let it, you know, just be there for being there's sake. No, he wants you to begin to actively run with it, or to actively respond to that word in faith and in hope, and begin to see that word as something that you are to live by and also live for. to the glory of God. So you have to live by the word of God and live for it, because you have set it before you. David in Psalm 16 said, I have set the Lord always before me, because it's at my right hand I shall not be moved. You see, he was a man that was after God's heart, and whatsoever God said to him, he always set it before him as a frontlet before his eyes to make sure he never loses sight of the word of God. So you must never lose sight of God's word. Say to your neighbor, don't let anything distract you and your focus from the word of God. Amen. If you don't lose sight of God's word, you will always experience God's will in your life. Thirdly, what do you do when God speaks? In order to run well with the word or the vision that God has given you, you need to cast off weights from yourself. Turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 12. Say to your neighbor, you need to cast off some weights. Otherwise, you can't run well with the vision. Amen and amen. You see, many of us don't understand that. We want to experience fulfillment of God's promises, but we don't want to let go of some things that are pleasurable to us. And those are the things that hinder us from running the race and winning the crown. So if you want to run and win, every athlete will tell you that there are some things you just have to put aside. I'm yet to see somebody run 100 meter dash carrying a heavy load on their back. You don't need a prophet to tell you that this one is not going to win. If everyone else come without any load and this one decides to carry load and run the 100 meter with them, it doesn't matter how fast that person could run, the weight will slow them down and they are not going to win the race. So if you are going to run and win, you need to get rid of some weights. And we shall see what those weights are in a short while, because it's so easy for us to understand these things, but we often don't pay attention to them. That's why we miss out on God's best for our lives. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Please underline that in your Bible. It is your responsibility to lay those weights aside. God is not going to take them from you. It's you that will lay them aside. We have to learn responsibility. You know, many times, because we don't understand responsibility, we are just folding our hands there and saying, God will remove the weight from me. But God is not going to remove the weight from you. That's why it says you have to throw it away. If you don't want it, then throw it away. Because it will be wrong for God to remove weight from you and not remove from me. Then I can accuse him of being partial. Listen to that. So I said, but God, you made it easy for that person. You didn't make it easy for me. No, God has given us the same platform. If you don't want weight, throw them away. Cast them aside. Because if you keep holding on to those weights, well, that's your choice. You want them, so, well, that's your. But if you are wise, you have to obey God's word. So you are the one to lay them aside. Bible says, let us lay aside. So it's our responsibility. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, we are going to run the race or run with the vision that God has given us. We have to get away from us all forms of distractions that will slow us down. So these weights, we have to lay them aside. Now, write this also down before we highlight what these weights are in a nutshell, and then you can take them home. This is the reason why we are fasting and praying in response to God's prophetic word concerning 2020. You see, we want to lay aside the weights. So we are fasting and praying. Why are we fasting and praying? Number one, fasting humbles the soul. Where the weights that slow us down are lodged. You see, every weight in your life is in your soul. It's not in your physical body. You know, many times when we hear that, some people say, oh, I need to go to the gym more. Well, it's good to go to the gym and exercise the body. But my Bible tells me bodily exercise profits little. Even if you spend the whole day in the gym, the profit is little. But godliness is profitable unto all things. So we see now that the weight is talking about is not physical. It is weight in the soul, which hinder the way of the spirit in your life. Galatians chapter 5 tells us it is the flesh that lusts against the spirit, and they are contrary, you know, in their ways to the way of the spirit, so that you end up not doing what God wants you to do. So the weights are the things that we have picked up in our souls, which are our own personalities and things that we just want to do our own ways. Oh, this is the way I do my thing. I don't care what anybody says. This is the way I will do it. No. That's become a weight if you don't realize. If you are not ready to do it God's way and you want to do it your way, that choice is a weight. You have to cast it aside. Every attitude of unbelief, every attitude of selfish ways rather than the ways of God, they are weights. They will slow us down. We have to cast them aside. So in front of that, please write Galatians chapter 5 verse 17. Their Bible tells us the flesh, which is the soul, really, because the flesh in man is not talking about physical body. It's talking about the ways of behavior that are contrary to God. And that's just in our soul. That's me. That, you know, we've all said that before. That's just me. That's just me. There's nothing I can do about that. That's just me. No, you better say to you, to yourself, well, it's not about me anymore. I died. It's about Jesus now. I have to die to self. And I can't live by my own ways and my feelings anymore. I have to live by God's own ways. And secondly, Psalm 35 verse 13. There, David said he humbled his soul with fasting. So secondly, we pray. You see, we are fasting and praying in order to cast away the weight from us. We pray in order to stir up. Please write that down. We pray in order to stir up our spirit to take hold of God. In front of that, write Isaiah chapter 64 verse 7. That's exactly what the Bible says there. Nobody in those days that Isaiah prophesied was stirring themselves up to take hold of God. It was a shame for the people of the land that they just forgot about God. They were just doing their own thing. And then please complete the statement by saying, and walk with him in order to experience fulfillment of his vision or his word or his promise, if you like, in our lives. So what are we saying? God has spoken. But in order for us to experience fulfillment of that word, we need to cast away from us the weights that will be a hindrance. And for us to do that, we are fasting and praying, because fasting humbles the soul. Fasting helps our souls and our flesh that stands in the way of the spirit to be subdued. And then prayer, because fasting and prayer must go together. You cannot say you are fasting and then you are not praying. The two have to go together. Like Jesus said, there are some things that don't go from us except by fasting and praying combined together. Now, when we pray, we are stirring our spirit man up in order to take hold of God and walk with God in the way that will lead to fulfillment of his promises in our lives. Because if God doesn't lead us as our shepherd, we still can't get there. And prayer is the means by which we connect with God, so to say, in the spirit, and hold on to him to say, Lord, take me on into the fulfillment of your plans for my life. I don't know the way. I don't have the strength for the journey. So I'm holding on to you to lead me and to carry me by your strength in order to get to where you want me to get to in my life. So say to your neighbor, live up to your responsibility. Because God wants to bless you. Now, before we pray, write this down and let's just quickly turn to these two scriptures so that you realize why it is so important to listen to God and hear clearly what He's saying to us. Bible says, he that has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. When we don't have the Word of God, please write this down. When we don't have the Word of God, we don't have any vision for life. That's the problem with us as a church. So, because we don't have the Word of God, we come up with our own vision. And we find many people say, oh, this is my vision, this is my vision. After some time, they get into different kinds of trouble. Because they thought they had a vision. Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the hands are ways of death. The only vision that is genuine vision comes from God and God alone. Say to your neighbor, genuine vision comes from God. So you have to hear from God. Don't hear from man. Don't hear from the world. They will confuse you and mess you up. But God never confuses you. God never messes you up. Okay, so where there is no word from God, there is no vision. In front of that, please write 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Well, because of time, we won't turn there together. So, but you read it when you get home. Because that was the days of Eli. And Samuel is coming up as a young boy, a prophet of God that God had chosen. And Bible tells us that unfortunately, in those days, the word of God was very precious. The Old King James uses the word precious. The word precious there literally means rare. The word of God was very scarce. It wasn't coming because there was sin in the land. People had turned away from God. So they weren't hearing God anymore. So that's to tell us that where the word of God is not present, there is no vision. In fact, vision, it says there was very rare in those days because the word of God was not coming. So people did not even know what to do. Everybody was just doing their own thing. And the land was messed up. And then complete the statement by saying, and where there is no vision, there is no clear direction or orderliness for living. So if you don't have the word of God, you will live in a disorderly manner. Anything goes. You try this today, and then, no way. You try that tomorrow, no way. This today, and then you're up and down and confused because there is no vision. Please write Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, and look at it when you get home, because Bible says there, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraints. In other words, anything goes now. No clear direction. Where there is no vision. In fact, the Old King James uses the word perish. The people perish. Literally, it means they cast off restraints. And that leads into destruction or confusion because there is no clear direction. So, begin to see the word of God as precious to you. Say to your neighbor, what God has spoken over your 2020 is very precious. Hold on to it and live for it and live by it. Amen and amen.